That is our 40-day campaign. We enter into the third week now. When we get to the end of this week, we'll be right about halfway through our campaign, The Miracle of Mercy. And what we're going to discover when we get to the end, spoiler alert here, what we're going to discover when we get to the end is that the miracle doesn't just happen in the lives of the people with whom I am merciful, but there's a miracle that takes place in my heart when I learn to be merciful. We've been looking at it pretty carefully. The first Sunday, we talked about how God shows us mercy and how that changes us, and how because of the mercy He has shown us, we want to learn to show that kind of mercy to others. And then last week, Todd helped us keep moving forward as we talked about having mercy means to forgive those who have fallen. We begin to move toward that place of forgiveness for those people who have hurt us. For some of us, that's a long and tedious journey. But I promise you that however long and hard that journey is for you, it is not nearly as long a journey as it was for Jesus Christ to leave the throne of glory and make His way all the way to the cross of Calvary in order that we might be forgiven ourselves. So this morning I want us to move on to the next understanding of the miracle of mercy, and that is that mercy helps the hurting. Mercy helps the hurting. If you've been going through your book, hopefully you got a book that you could use with your small group, and it includes in it as well a devotional reading each day. Hopefully you've been working through that. You may have noticed that the very first fill-ins in your small group curriculum in that book, the very first spaces to fill in, showed us that mercy is love in action. Mercy is love in action. This whole time that we go through this, as we talk about the miracle of mercy, we want to keep that in mind so that we understand what we're talking about. Mercy is not just a theological concept. It's not just a philosophical outlook or perspective on life. It is actually a commitment that leads to an action. Mercy is love in action. It's actually loving enough that I do something for those around me, particularly as we look this morning, love that drives me to do something for those around me who are hurting. Think about the mercy that God shows us. Remember, mercy is love in action. Think about the mercy He shows us. What's the first verse you ever learned? For God so loved the world, He what? Action. He gave. Because He loved, He gave. Romans 5 and 8 says God demonstrates His love. Not just that He loves us, but it says God demonstrates His love. Hear that action. God demonstrates His love in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Mercy is love in action, not just loving in an emotional sense, not even loving in a commitment sense, but loving to the point that it takes action. There's mercy. I also want us to think about another word this morning, and that great word is the word compassion. Compassion comes from a Latin word, really, and it is compatio, which is two different words there. C-O-M, come, always means with or together. Almost any time you see a word that starts with C-O-M, it means together. Commute, we're headed together. Look at I-35 in the morning, you'll understand what I mean. A lot of people together. Communication, we're talking together. C-O-M always means together or with. And then the word for compassion, compatio, come, which is together, and pati, which is suffer. The word compassion means to suffer together. In other words, perhaps the easiest way for us to remember it is that compassion is to enter into someone else's pain. Think about that. Compassion, to enter into someone else's pain. I want you to keep those two definitions in mind as we talk through a story here in just a moment. Mercy is love in action. Compassion is entering into someone else's pain. And not only that you enter in and feel it, but compassion has with it as well a desire to help. So you enter into someone else's pain with the desire to relieve that pain. You're in it with them so that you can help them get through. That's the difference, by the way, between pity and compassion. Pity, I can look at you and feel sorry for you. I'm sorry you're hurting. I'm sorry you're hungry. I'm sorry you're struggling. I really feel sorry for you. Well, that makes me feel better about me, but it does absolutely nothing for you, right? It's the difference between pity and compassion. Compassion says, I'm sorry you're hurting, and I'm going to hurt with you to the degree that I'm willing to help you find a way through this. Compassion enters into someone else's pain with the desire to help relieve that pain. Mercy, then, is compassionate. Love in action is compassionate. It enters into others' pain with the hope of relieving that pain. Mercy is not afraid to get its hands dirty. It's not afraid to go out of its way and help someone who's hurting. Let's look at a story that I mentioned not long ago. If you have your copy of Scripture with you, we're in the Gospel of Mark, the second book of the New Testament, Matthew, then Mark. And in Mark, we want to look in chapter 1 at verse 40. I mentioned this story to you a couple of weeks ago. We didn't take time to really spend, to really dig into it. I just kind of mentioned it quickly about the leper. You remember the leper that comes to Jesus? And Jesus heals the leper. Could have healed him any way he wanted to, but for some reason, Jesus chose to actually touch him to bring healing. That's what I want us to look at this morning. We're in Mark chapter 1. We're just going to look at two verses. Verse 40. A leper came to him, beseeching him. Now that's more than asking. That is begging, pleading. The leper came to him, beseeching him and falling on his knees before him and saying to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And moved with compassion, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. This man had leprosy. Leprosy is something that is virtually unknown to us throughout the world to a degree, but especially here in our society, it's completely unknown to most of us. But one of the reasons for that is there are treatments and it can be cured now, the different forms that were called leprosy back then. But in that day, there was no cure. Nothing you could do about leprosy. So once someone said you had leprosy, that was kind of a death sentence. It was a terminal illness. And not only was it a terminal illness, it was a terrible disease because it basically was just a flesh-eating disease. It would just slowly eat away at your body. It's incredibly painful. It was really gross. And not only was it terminal, and not only was it a terrible disease, imagine it must be terribly contagious. And because it's so terribly contagious, with no cure, no hope, you don't want that disease to infect your whole community. So when somebody got leprosy, all you could do was protect the rest of the community and make that person go away. Matter of fact, the Old Testament law said that if you had leprosy, you had to leave the community and go outside the camp, live by yourself, which speaks to the pain of the disease. It's not just a physical pain. But what would life be like knowing that you could never have contact with another human being, and this disease was going to keep you all by yourself until it finally took your life? The emotional disaster of being a person with leprosy. But not only was it a physical disease, not only was it an emotional disaster, but it was a spiritual experience as well. Why? You remember? This is the Old Testament law, time of the law. When the law was established, it said you had to leave the community. When you leave the community, what does that mean? It means you can't get to the tabernacle. At that time, they understood the tabernacle was where God physically, literally dwelt. If you can't be in the community, you can't come to the tabernacle. That means you are cut off from God Himself. Physically devastating. Emotionally devastating. Spiritually devastating. All alone in the world with no one to be able to touch you. Matter of fact, they had to avoid all contact with others to the degree that if anyone came anywhere close to them, the leper had to cover the lower part of his face, in other words, his nose and mouth. He had to cover his nose and mouth, and he had to cry out, "Unclean!" He had to warn people not to come near him. In other words, here is a person who, if there's another human being who comes anywhere close to his personal space, he has to cover up and say, "I'm not worthy to be in your presence. Get away from me. I can't be around you. I have to be alone." If a leper dared to come close to the community, that leper could be whipped or stoned for coming into a public place. Could not live with his family. It was assumed that anyone who had that disease was being punished by God. You see someone with that disease and you automatically reject them because God must be doing that to that person. That person must be a bad person. You say, "Well, what a terrible way to look at folks." Be careful. Because we do similar things in our life, in our culture, in our world. Oh, it's not leprosy. But we look at certain people and we say, "You surely can't be of God. I don't want anything to do with you. Boy, don't touch me. Don't bring me your problems." How many people do we isolate? Do we push away? Do we separate? Do we look down upon? Do we judge? Do we dismiss? Here is one who is not only dying on the outside, he's dying on the inside with the pain of isolation, of loneliness, of rejection, of judgment, of humiliation. And he comes to Jesus begging and pleading, saying, "If you're willing, you could help me." And the first thing that I want you to see this morning is that mercy is willing. Mercy is willing. The leper says to Jesus, "If you are willing," at the end of 40, "if you are willing, you can make me clean." I love the fact that he did not question Jesus' ability. He didn't say, "Are you able?" He knew Jesus was able. Matter of fact, it's a statement of faith. He says, you can make me clean. Clear statement of faith. It's not about Jesus' ability. It's about his availability. Are you willing? If you're willing, you can make me clean. You can make a difference if you're willing. He was asking Jesus, are you willing to help me, or are you going to leave me in pain? There are people all around us in pain today, in need. There are people all around us who are lonely, who are hurting, who are failing, who are suffering. This morning, I want to ask you a question. Are you willing? He said, Jesus, if you're willing, I know you can do something. But without the will, nothing's going to happen. So let me ask you this morning, not you as a church body, you as an individual. This is John talking to you. Are you willing? Because if you're willing, you can make a difference. You're willing to restore someone's dignity. You're willing to help someone find peace. You're willing to help relieve someone's hunger. You're willing to comfort them in their loneliness. I think someone might stand before us today and say, if you're willing, you can show me love and compassion and hope and mercy. If you're willing, you can show me what Jesus looks like. Are you willing? Remember our theme verse for this campaign. It's printed at the top of your worship order, and it's going to be there for all 6 weeks of the campaign. But at the top of the order of worship, it says, Matthew 5:7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Look at Jesus' answer in verse 41. Moved with compassion, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said, I am willing. Is that your answer this morning? When I see the hurting, I'm willing. Notice not only that mercy is willing, but notice also that mercy is compassionate. Mercy is compassionate. There in verse 41, it's explained to us why Jesus did what he did. In verse 41, it says, and moved with compassion. Moved with that desire to help. Moved by the fact that he entered into someone else's pain and wanted to relieve that pain. It says, moved with compassion, he stretched out his hand and touched him. That just blows my mind, because it could have said, moved with compassion, he healed him. And that would have been a great story. Jesus healed the leper. Hallelujah. But it didn't even mention healing. Yet, instead it said, moved with compassion, Jesus reached out and touched him. When was the last time that guy had someone shake his hand? When was the last time that guy had a hug? When's the last time that guy had someone look him in the eye and say, let's talk? You see, that touch brought so much more healing than just the physical healing. That touch was about emotional healing and spiritual healing and restoration. That touch was about love. That touch was about mercy. He could have healed this guy 100 different ways, but he chose to touch him, to reach into his condition, to join him in his pain and suffering. Jesus is always reaching out to the least, to the last, and to the lost. He always reaches the least, the last, and the lost. We are most like him when we do the same thing. When we take a risk to take that action to help the disenfranchised, the outcast, the sick, the angry, the hungry, the hurting. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2 says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Galatians chapter 6. Carry each other's burdens. That's how you fulfill the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? He told us, love your neighbor as yourself. Later, he made it even more difficult. He said, love one another as I have loved you. That's his law. How do you fulfill the law? Carry one another's burdens. Have compassion. Join them in their pain to relieve that pain. The third thing that I hope we notice about mercy this morning, mercy is willing, mercy is compassionate, and mercy is active. It is active. This is so powerful to me. First, notice the action that the leper took in verse 40. The leper came to him. Now the leper knew, he knew that by entering into the public realm, he was putting his own life at risk. They had a right now to stone him to death. But he was that desperate to get help from Jesus. He entered through the crowd and came to Jesus knowing that he was taking a huge risk. Jesus knew that he was taking a risk as well. He's going to touch someone who could make him sick. More than that, he's going to connect with someone who now had broken public expectation and broken God's letter of the law. And Jesus was going to touch him. And yet Jesus reaches out and he touches him. Moved with compassion, he stretched out his hand, touched him and said, I am willing, be cleansed. Jesus was not only willing and he was not only compassionate, but he acted on that compassion. Mercy is love in action. Mercy does something. And Jesus acted. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 27. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to act. Don't hesitate to help folks when it's in your ability to act, to do something. Because love does something. Mercy is love in action. Mercy acts. It steps in. So how can you do that? What can you do? Start looking for people in need and start looking for ways to help. For most of us, that can start at a very easy place. Not all of us today, but for most of us, it can start at a very easy place. I can simply give money to help solve some problems. I can support the West Tree of Life, who's going to help folks get their lives kind of straightened out. I can support the Ministerial Alliance, whose funds are used by the West Tree of Life to give folks the food and the gas that they need to get through until they can get things figured out. The easy thing I can do, the first thing, the beginning, is I can give money to folks who are going to use that money to help people in need. Maybe the way you could help to show mercy to someone is just sit next to that strange person who doesn't really fit in. Students, you know who they are. They're the people that nobody wants them to come sit at the table at lunch. They're the ones who nobody talks to in the hallway. They're the ones who are separated from the community and hurting and sad and lonely probably. All we got to do is sit and talk a minute. Maybe you could check on your neighbor who lives by herself. Maybe you could babysit for the single mom who needs some time to take a break or run errands. Maybe you can make a meal or two to the folks and take it down to the folks down the street who are having a hard time making friends. Maybe you give the parent of a troubled teen the chance to talk about their problems. Maybe you donate some time to volunteer at the school to help kids who are having a hard time learning to read. You get the idea. You can figure that stuff out on your own. Matter of fact, that's exactly what I'm going to encourage you to do. I'm going to encourage you to start looking for ways to show mercy, to enter into someone else's pain and to help them. Perhaps your small group that's meeting during this campaign, perhaps your small group would even consider adopting a mercy project. That as a group, here's something we're going to work on that's going to help our community, that's going to take care of folks in need. Perhaps your group would adopt a project together. Maybe your family could adopt that a project. As a family, we're going to decide that we're going to help that family in these ways. As an individual, you can say, I'm going to look this week for people who are hurting. I'm going to be intentional, and I'm going to find a way to show them mercy. So, as I conclude this morning, I have two things for you. I have a challenge and a question. The challenge: start looking for ways to show mercy to hurting people. Don't wait for the church to figure it out and come and ask you to help and give you, elect you to an office and give you training. You start looking. You find people in need and show them mercy. That's the challenge. The second thing I leave you with is a question. Are you willing? The leper says, Jesus, if you're willing, you can help me. And there are folks all around you every day who are saying the same thing. If you're willing, you can help.